Did you know there was a Unitarian king? King John Sigismund ruled in Hungary, Transylvania, and the present area of Romania. It turns out a big part of my father's family line is from Hungary, so I'm particularly curious about this part of our history. This Unitarian king, John Sigismund, was in power during the Reformation and truly reformed his own ideas. This may sound familiar to some of you. He was originally Catholic and converted to Lutheranism, and then to Calvinism, and then to Unitarianism, where he remained. Instrumental in his conversion was Francis David, whose 500-year-old words we just read for our responsive reading. Francis David had been trained as a Catholic priest and also converted to Lutheranism, to Calvinism, and to Unitarianism. Unitarians, as you may know, were at first a very small group of people who believed that the Bible did not state that Jesus was the Son of God, but a great example of an enlightened human. Unitarians said we should live like Jesus, not worship him. That's why they said God is one. Francis David's Unitarian views convinced John Sigismund to become Unitarian as well. And in that time period, it was typical for the king to decree that everyone convert to his religion, right? King Sigismund was prepared to do just that when Francis David urged him to do the opposite, and in fact, enact instead the Edict of Torda, which historians have celebrated as the first European policy of expansive religious toleration. Here's what it says. See if this sounds familiar. In every place the preachers shall preach and explain the gospel, each according to his understanding of it. And if the congregation like it, well, if not, no one shall compel them, for their souls would not be satisfied, but they shall be permitted to keep a preacher whose teaching they approve. Therefore, no one shall be reviled for his religion by anyone. This is in the 16th century. For faith is the gift of God, and this comes from hearing, which hearing is by the word of God. So this year is the 450th anniversary of the Edict of Torda, a major strand in our spiritual DNA as a faith that values a free search for truth and meaning. And here is Francis David. He's depicted here inspiring this radically tolerant edict in front of all of the other Christian denominations and the king. And he's shown with this ray of light, right, descending upon him, as if the inspiration for this edict came from the eternal itself, like some immaculate conception. Of course, we like to see ourselves that way, us bold Unitarians with our radically innovative ideas. And surely Francis David was bold, very bright, and very committed. After King Sigismund died and a less enlightened king took his place, the edict was reversed, and David died in a prison cell, a martyr for his beliefs. But it turns out David's inspiration for the radically tolerant Edict of Torda did not, in fact, come out of thin air or as an immaculate conception. Some of you may remember Reverend Dr. Susan Ritchie. She gave the sermon at my installation service here in this room a year ago. Dr. Ritchie is a well-respected historian and leader in Unitarian Universalism, and I took 3 history courses from her. She set out not too long ago to investigate whether there was any influence on Francis David and his fellow Unitarians by the Ottoman Islamic Empire that was actually sovereign over them. She found that yes, indeed, there was great influence. What quick brushstrokes of Unitarian history often forget is that Unitarians were allowed to thrive in Transylvania because Muslim Ottoman Turks extended their protection. and created conditions of religious tolerance. Unlike Christian ruling powers of the time, who, as we all know, expelled Jews and Muslims and even promoted war within their own religion between Protestant and Catholic, when ruling Islamic Ottomans were in power, they allowed local groups to continue to practice their religions. In fact, the educated Jewish community of the Ottoman Empire enjoyed one of Judaism's golden ages, even while anti-Semitism grew in Christian Europe. All kinds of non-Orthodox Christians found a haven in the Muslim Ottoman Empire, including our Unitarian ancestors, who not only practiced their faith, but advanced and evolved it there. So if not for the Ottoman Empire, Unitarians probably could not have survived and succeeded in spreading their ideas to us. So back to the Edict of Torda. Susan Ritchie discovered that it is clear that Francis David was inspired by a previous edict of religious toleration that was issued within the Ottoman Empire 20 years before. She relates the following story. The Sultan's representative in Buda was requested by local authorities to take action against the Protestant pastor there. The Catholic authorities, offended by the pastor's reform ideas, asked that he either be killed or driven from the city for heresy. The chief intendant of the Pasha of Buda not only communicated to the authorities that the Pasha denied their request, he also issued an edict of toleration which states in part, see if this sounds familiar, preachers of the faith invented by Luther shall be allowed to preach the gospel everywhere to everybody, whoever wants to hear, freely and without fear, and that all shall be able to listen to and receive the word of God without any danger. So it sounds like the Edict of Torda, but it's from the Ottoman Empire. However, Dr. Ritchie cautions us not to imagine this as a one-way trail of influence. She says, I hope instead what gradually begins to emerge is a portrait of two cultures, more greatly enmeshed in patterns of creative engagement, mutual attraction, and circular patterns of influence than we have imagined before. As evidence of this mixing, Ritchie points to lots of intermarriage going on at the time within, between Christian denominations, and even between Christians and Muslims. Then there's the interesting case of Ibrahim Mutafarika, a young Unitarian raised in Hungary, who immigrated to Turkey, where he both converted to Islam and established the first modern printing press in a Muslim land. So here's a fact that not many know. The printing press developed in Europe was a gift to the Muslim East by a Unitarian. So as Susan Ritchie emphasizes, the grounds for religious toleration were prepared for in the everyday lives of actual persons. Persons living in multicultural, multi-religious environments as we do. So I realize this is a much more academic, history-heavy sermon than I usually preach. But Susan Ritchie was in fact the first teacher to get me interested in the subject of history. It had always bored me. I know that seems not right, but it always bored me throughout all my previous schooling. She points to this history, and it interests me because this history holds the heart of our unique gift as Unitarian Universalists to the world. Because each religion is not the same. Each has unique gifts. Embodying this truth is a story from 1979, a story about Jews and Buddhists learning from each other's distinctive gifts. So in 1979, the Dalai Lama was having trouble guiding his people on how to keep their faith, their spiritual practices, in diaspora, basically in exile from communist China. So the Dalai Lama did a very novel thing. He decided to ask Jewish leaders to come and advise him and the other Buddhist leaders, because, of course, Jewish leaders have a special wisdom, a unique gift, about how to survive within the diaspora. So the Jewish people came and spoke to the Dalai Lama and the Buddhist leaders about how to survive within exile or diaspora. And the Jewish leaders realized at one point that it wouldn't be a true exchange unless they also learned from the Buddhist leaders. So the special wisdom that the Dalai Lama chose to give to the Jewish people was about deep spiritual practice, to take their ancient spiritual practices and make them newly relevant to a fresh generation. So this meeting, in fact, sparked, in part, the Jewish renewal movement. So a mixing of cultures, one religion learning from another. So what is our unique gift to the world? For Jews, it was how to survive in exile. For these Buddhists, it was unique spiritual practice. Susan Ritchie asks that question, what is our unique gift? And she responds, Unitarian Universalism has its special gift in knowing something about the nature of religion. That religion is not a container that holds a kind of context, but that religion is a matrix of relationships, a kind of circulation, not static and not pure. That religion, in some sixth sense, is a mixed gesture, or even better yet, a mixing gesture. Or even better yet, I wonder if we don't understand that religion comes out of mixing gestures. So all religions are actually products of mixing gestures. But we as Unitarian Universalists have really taken on that mixing motion, haven't we? We have a history of drawing that which is different inside with generosity and curiosity instead of expelling it. This is how we, as a tradition that was once historically clearly Christian, now embrace and include pagans and agnostics and atheists and Jews and beyond. We allowed ourselves, as time went on, to be changed by who showed up. So we have an interfaith spirit because that impulse beats at the heart of our history. That's why I go into this perhaps dry history. Another part of history that many Unitarian Universalists do not know, many of our Unitarian ancestors were anti-Trinitarian, in part because the Trinity, Jesus is the Son of God, unnecessarily separated us from Judaism and Islam. Remember that in the history of Christianity, Jesus' divinity was not always an established and universal belief. When the Council of Nicaea chose, among many other Jesus theologies at the time, to see Jesus as divine, it was clear they would be alienating Jews and later Muslims. In fact, get this, Constantine himself explained in a letter he sent to clergy unable to attend the Council of Nicaea. He said, "We ought not, therefore, to have anything in common with the Jews. And we desire, dearest brethren, to separate ourselves from the detestable company of Jews." Of course, I should say that many Trinitarian Christians today can and do find common ground with Jews and Muslims. But nevertheless, this history is there. So, our spiritual history and DNA includes a willingness to be changed by that which seems other. We understand that new possibilities emerge when we don't have strict borders. When we create a church like our own, where Tree of Life, the pagan group, holds rituals on Fridays, and the Buddhist group meditates on Tuesdays, and we host a Baptist guest minister to preach, and the sermons can draw from strikingly different sources and styles from one Sunday to the next, and we open our doors to all, even those strikingly different from us. We embrace this faith in part because we know there is strength in allowing ourselves to be changed by something new. As our own Director of Religious Education and lifelong UU, Barbara Hanley, says, "I love this church because here you can change your beliefs and not have to change your church." So may this ever deepening and evolving understanding of our history, the pulse of our tradition, root us in an affirmed commitment to be open to the creative interplay between difference, to be curious about the possibilities that bloom at our borders, to engage with one another, really engage with one another across our silos. God knows that the world needs that so badly, right? This unique gift that we have to share. May it be so.